makes me feel full as a moon.
Welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean the Natural Vet, on our new show. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here for 2 whole hours to answer any question you have about your pets. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. You can also email us at radiopetlady@gmail.com before any show, and we'll answer your question on the air. And don't forget that if you write us at radiopetlady@gmail.com, you'll get a free box full of freeze-dried protein treats from Whole Life Pet, good for dogs and cats. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Waruva Pet Food, Precious Cat Litter, Nordic Naturals Omega-3 Fish Oil, and The Honest Kitchen Raw Dehydrated Pet Food made in a human food facility. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. And then we have more sponsors that we are very grateful to: Platinum Performance Supplements, the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs, Vectra for parasites, and Halo purely for pets, food, and treats. Please know that all the support for this show is by invitation only. Dr. Sean and I know these companies. We like these companies. We use these companies. And we hope you'll become their customers, too, because without them, there's no Cat Chat and Dog Talk. Well, Dr. Sean, it feels like you've been away forever and a day.
It's been a while, hasn't it? But only a couple of weeks, not too bad. Did you have a good Mardi Gras last week?
Well, I forgot to have Mardi Gras. That's the problem. If you don't live in Mardi Gras territory, you forget to have it. You were playing with your band, right? I just want to repeat the number.
Oh, yes. So we had a great party.
I just want to repeat the number one more time. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You play in a band, and it was a Mardi Gras celebration?
We had a Mardi Gras celebration at Andrea's Cajun Restaurant here in town. And let's see, we had several performers. My band was basically the headline band, and we squeezed all 8 of us in this little tiny restaurant, but we had Mardi Gras beads and doubloons. We had Mardi Gras dancing and partying, and it was a lot of fun. I really had a good time. I appreciate having the night off. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we're glad you had fun. We had fun here answering questions like, why do dogs eat their own feces, and why do some cats eat larger pea pies than others? So, you know, I think you were having the more fun. But I do have a bunch of emails going back to even 6 weeks ago, our very first show. Can you believe the show is 6 weeks old?
I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It's kind of marvelous. Those of you listening, don't be shy. You just have to dial 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 if you have any dog or cat question for Dr. Sean or myself. So I want to go to an email that we had early on from Justina. I was listening to your Cat Chat show on the radio for the first time, and I'm not going to lie, listening to your program has me very worried about what and how I feed my cat, who will be 4 in April and is a bit on the husky side. Okay, he's overweight. Justina is actually very funny. Right now I feed him half cup of dry food, kitty crack, she says. You were saying on the radio that dry food is really bad, and all these years I thought it was great for them and their teeth. I want to do what's best for my cat, Spooky Boo, so here's my question. If I start to feed him meat, can I do tuna chicken? And if yes, how much? One more thing, I also heard on your radio show that I can get healthy cat treat boxes for free for Spooky as well. Where can I go get those? Thank you, and I look forward to listening to you again. So, Justina, I hope you are listening. You know, the whole issue of that dry food cleans dogs' or cats' teeth, I think that's something you and I would certainly agree is a brilliant marketing ploy, but completely illogical, right?
Yes.
I mean, Our dentist sends us home with a small toothbrush and a little tube of toothpaste, not with a bag of Fritos.
That's true.
I mean,
I never thought of it that way.
That's really Elizabeth Hodgkin's line. It's so great.
Yeah.
She said, the day that your vet says, be sure to eat some fried stuff and that'll keep your teeth clean, it will be the day that that makes any sense. You know, it's funny how we kind of park our logic at the door sometimes with authority figures. You, of course, are an authority figure. You're a vet, you know, and so people come to you as the great, you know, the great Oz, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain who can tell them everything.
Yeah.
And I think that the whole idea of pet food cleaning teeth
crunch, crunch, crunch. People heard that early on because people had to be sold on the idea of feeding kibble. They were feeding leftovers, and they weren't actually in the mindset to go buy food that was only eaten out of a bag for a dog and a cat. And I think it's just really important to know that everyone's teeth get dirty. I mean, Sean's, mine, his daughter, we brush our teeth 2-3 times a day. We use mouthwash. We still have to go to the dentist twice a year for a teeth cleaning, and we still can get gum disease and dental disease. It has – your food leaves residue on your teeth, right, Sean? I mean, everything you eat except for maybe an apple, maybe.
That's right. And you know what, Tracy, you're mentioning about the dental thing. I grew up and I learned in vet school that the dry food is necessary due to the abrasive action. So that's kind of how we were trained. And about 5 years ago, there was actually a study in one of the dental journals that actually studied that and disputed that. Now, one caveat I'll give our listeners is that there are certainly individual susceptibility. There are some pets that seem to build up more tartar more quickly with wet food compared to dry. But as a general statement, and I can see this in my own practice, I don't think it really matters. Some pets are going to build up dental disease more frequently, usually small dogs. Most cats don't seem to build up tartar as quickly as dogs. And of course, bigger dogs usually don't need a professional cleaning quite as much, but I agree, anything we can do for dental health, brushing or chew toys or fresh bones, all those things will help, I think, a lot more than just the dry food.
Yeah, and in fact, as I've often pointed out to people with dogs, if your dog ever happens to throw up, the food comes up in the exact same shape it went down. Dogs carefully masticate their food. They kind of inhale it. They inhale it. Let me give the number. So in terms of dental health, it might be just the opposite, but it certainly is not a toothbrush. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Oh, I'm so glad Ellie called back. Ellie, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I know you called a few weeks ago and you couldn't get through, so it's great to have you here.
Hi, can you hear me?
We certainly can. What can we do for you?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions mainly about my cat. One is she's getting very finicky about what to eat. Mm-hmm. And the other is how to get her on a schedule. I'd love to schedule feed as opposed to pre-feeding.
Yes.
But she keeps demanding food before the next mealtime.
Well, the first question that we would have for you, Ellie, is have you gotten her off of all dry food? No kitty crack. Is she only eating wet food?
That's part of my challenge.
And that's part of her challenge, too.
Yes, and ironically, this was my first cat, and I've only had her for a couple months. I started out feeding dry food because I didn't know any better.
Sure,
I started giving her wet food, and that's when she started getting finicky about what to eat. So I'm still in a transition of getting out of the dry food. It seems like at first when she seemed to like wet food, and then she wouldn't eat dry food anymore, and then she started getting finicky, and now she seems to like the dry food better sometimes. And so,
here's the thing to know about dry food. What it's sprayed with is very, very expensive to come up with that spray. That spray is called a proprietary substance, which sounds very mysterious. You know how the recipe for Coca-Cola, well, Sean lives in Texas. Where did Coca-Cola from Texas? It's locked in like a vault somewhere because no one can ever know what the real ingredients of Coca-Cola are. It's so secret. It's the same thing with what they spray kibble with for cats and dogs. And that spray not only makes it incredibly appealing and attractive, but actually creates an addiction to it, a compulsion for it, a craving for it. Craving is really the right word, but more than addiction. So, again, kitty crack, addiction versus craving, kind of same idea. So if you were lucky enough to have a cat who would notice what real food was and understand that what was in the can was real meat, which is what an obligate carnivore should be eating, but you still kept the addictive substance in the house, that history, that physical, on a cellular level, history, the pathways in the brain because that's how they came up with these proprietary substances. They were studied 30 or something years ago by Michael Fox, who then wrote a book a few years ago just like trashing all commercial food companies. But he was involved in, I guess, in his vet school days or some early time in his life with helping the scientists at a food company understand, well, he didn't really think it was for a food company, understand what makes for food preferences in young dogs. How do you manipulate, or how do you understand why they're drawn to one flavor or one taste over another? Then they found out what that answer was by studying the brain, and then that's what is in their secret sauce. So cats, very similarly, it's studied at a very high level, because if you're going to give basically plant matter to an obligate carnivore, a lot of discard of the human food production line, a lot of corn, things that are just have all kinds of health problems for cats, then you better come up with a really great spray to put on it. So if you keep that substance in the house, it's like saying to someone who is giving up cookies or giving up cigarettes, okay, you're just going to have, you know, like raw veggies for dinner, and I'll just keep the box of Oreos in the cupboard. But don't touch them, okay? Because the smell is so potent, Ellie, of what's on Kitty Crack. Cats can smell it through a closed bag, through a pantry door. People have talked about cats gnawing, scratching, howling to get at it when they've been asked to give up their Kitty Crack. So finicky is kind of a funny word, because where wet food is concerned, you only need to eat a teaspoon or two at a meal for a cat, very small amount. You don't need to chow down like we do or like Labrador Retrievers do. So finicky just may mean she's not hungry. So if you give her, you remove the Kitty Crack from the building, not in your kitchen, pantry, garage, give it to a feral cat rescue group or to a local shelter or, you know, private rescue group. You'll find that if you've found a canned food that she likes and she eats half of one of those teeny tiny cans at breakfast, she doesn't eat anything else until dinner time, and she may not even be hungry then. So does that make sense?
Well, except she would demand food way before that. It's just a teaspoon or two.
Well, how old is she? How old is she?
She's about two.
She's had a pretty long time for her body to get addicted on a cellular level to the carbs. Again, that's something that's been studied in both people and animals, that that carbohydrates in and of themselves on a cellular level can carb load, and then you can become addicted to carbs. Sean and I have talked about that. He's a very, you know, he loves his carbs, but he also has a great metabolism, and he also has self-control, and he can make choices. So
I have a little self-control.
A little self-control and
a little better than
wife. Yeah, right.
That's
you tell
true.
Me that? Yeah.
And I also know what's good for me, so I try not to overdo
it. Exactly. So if what you need to do, Ellie, in that transition on my website, very soon we're going to have our own website for the Radio Pet Lady Network, and then all the stuff and the information and the downloadable stuff will all be there. But for the moment, you have to go to RadioPetLady.com, and you'll find a whole lot of advice about cat feeding. And one of the pieces of advice is that during the transition from Kitty Crack to wet food, the thing you need to do is give protein, 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 and more protein. When she cries, I think you gave me your address for Whole Life Pet Treats, if I'm not wrong. You sent that to me, right?
Yes, I did.
Takes about 3 weeks for them to arrive. Anyone listening can write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com or call us, and we will hook you up with a free sample box of these treats that are made of human-grade protein that's freeze-dried privately in a small company in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You can give little pieces of Whole Life Pet Treats, little pieces of cheese, little pieces of chicken, fish, beef, deli meat. It doesn't matter. Anything at all that's protein to help her through this time. It's like methadone for a heroin addict. You need to give her lots of protein. She is starving because her cells are screaming for carbs. And it's something that they can actually measure. It's scientific. It's true. She will get over the addiction, but only by filling her with protein when she needs something. And eventually her brain will say, I'm okay. It's all right. I'm full. I get it. Okay. Go ahead.
So you think the carb addiction is why she's demanding food?
Absolutely. I know it for a fact. I mean, Dr. Elizabeth used to come on my old show and talk about it all the time. that crying, that howling, that begging is true feeling of starving, feeling like she's starving, even though you've given her some adequate amount of protein. And the only thing you can do, you can play with a NecoFlies toy. NecoFlies toys are 10% off. I have to remember that until the end of February. If you go to RadioPetLady.com, you'll see the code there. It's a great toy, very good distraction when a cat is moaning and groaning and feeling like they're starving, but you know that you fed them. Play with her for 5 minutes with a wand toy and give her protein that isn't in the can of a two, you know, one can, half in the morning, half in the evening is perfect. And then in between, any protein at all. This is all to help her through this, you know? It's like nicotine gum for a smoker. So you just give her lots of protein, all right?
So is twice a day feeding really the best?
It seems to work the best for people. Truly, a cat could actually eat only once a day physiologically. Twice a day is kind. So morning and night, it doesn't matter how much time in between, and no free snacking on fried carbs in between, and then you'll just backslide, okay?
Okay.
All right. So you have to call us back in a week or two and tell us how you're doing, and the Whole Life Pet Treats should be to you by then, okay? And that they are very helpful for in-between snacks. And I love that you stayed with us and called us back, even though you had such a hard time the first week getting through. So thank you very much for that, Ellie. And we look forward to hearing from you again, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Tracy.
Have a great night. Now, there's somebody calling us right now, Sean, who has this amazing story that I want him to tell you. He sent me a whole email about it. He entered the Nordic Naturals Me and My Dog contest. Barry, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I hope you are.
Well, definitely. And I want you to tell Sean and everybody else the story of your darling little chihuahuas and how you came to have them.
Wow. There's a huge flea market here in Anderson, South Carolina, and it's called the Jockey Lot. And it's a place where they used to run horses. And since then, they turned it into a huge flea market. And coming in to the flea market, like, I mean, I shopped there for weeks just moving to South Carolina. And I came to a part of the area which was, like, it was just a lot of animals that were just not taken well care of. And there
for
was
sale,
a lady
right?
with a few chihuahuas in a cage. And I come across her, and I just ended up buying all three of them because they were just such in bad shape. It was a struggle to get them, wait on them, and to take care of them, but it really turned out well. It was a blessing to take care of them.
It was a blessing to them to find you. You sent their photos in for the Nordic Naturals contest. Oh, Sean, you got to see these three little baby chihuahuas when they were babies in the bathtub, like they were triplet little humans almost, because you know how human-like a chihuahua face can be.
Yes.
I think one of the things that I think it's important for people to hear is that when Barry bought what were clearly puppy mill dogs, they were in terrible shape, like really, really bad shape. They all had AKC papers. So people need to understand the American Kennel Club that runs all these fancy dog shows is now willingly and knowingly giving AKC papers to terrible people doing a horrible job of breeding instead of to wonderful people doing a great job of breeding, which is what it used to be.
Yes,
so
that's right.
It's very important to know that because here's Barry who, you know, digs in his pocket and buys these dogs because they're, you know, in this horrible little cage suffering. But he's got AKC papers for them. I mean, what is up with that? You know, it's so counter to what we think the AKC should stand for.
Well, you want me to tell you my AKC story to
yes,
show you
please.
Why? All
Barry,
right, so I'll share this
with you. Have a minute? You have a minute, Barry, to hear a good story?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. I'll
I think you'll enjoy it.
For you.
Excellent. All right, let me tell you my story, then we'll get to your question. So
you know,
a lot of people make a big deal about how the puppy is registered with the AKC or they have papers. As Tracy just pointed out.
It wasn't a necessity for me to take
that's
care
right.
of
no,
it.
No,
that's,
we know that.
No, but sometimes that's a big deal to people, and
that's
sometimes
right.
they brag about it or maybe pay more for
right.
it. But let me tell
yes.
you a true story. When I opened my practice about 20 years ago here in Plano, right next door to me was a groomer who has since passed on. But she had a Rottweiler that she bred, and of course the dog had puppies, and she sold these puppies for quite a bit of money, quote-unquote, with papers. Well, I learned right away how these papers are meaningless because this dog, this female dog, actually was mated with two different male dogs, two different stud dogs,
nice.
And had puppies, and the breeder decided she was going to register the puppies with her favorite stud, even though they he might not have been the father. So basically, you know, for registering these puppies, it was a big fraud because the AKC doesn't know anything. You send in your $25 or $50, you register the puppies, everybody's happy. So to me, when people brag about, oh, you know, my dog's got papers, the paper's not worth a thing. Anybody can make something up, and I saw that firsthand. So as Tracy pointed out, even though I do like the fact that the AKC does try to promote certain things positive, the fact that a pet has papers doesn't really mean anything. It's just whatever somebody wanted to spend, and nobody can verify what's on that piece of paper.
It's funny because, Gary, Sean and I haven't had a chance to actually discuss this, and it turns out we're on the exact same page about it. I know that that isn't why you bought them. You bought them because they were suffering, but you said in your posting on Facebook, on my Facebook page, and then when you wrote me an email, something very meaningful, which was, and they even had AKC papers, and they were in this horrible condition. And in fact, there was a huge two-page spread in the New York Times, a kind of expose on the AKC. And
wow.
It quoted the head of the ASPCA, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the oldest humane organization in the United States, Ed Sayers, who said, these people are buying fake Rolexes. And that's really what Sean is saying. And while we, of course, are respectful and supportive of any really good breeders who are breeding for health and wellness and the ongoing good qualities of a breed, 99% are A, breeding for just the looks in the show ring, which often doesn't do anything for temperament, intelligence, or physical wellness. And the others are puppy mills like these little guys you got. Who knows where they came from? I was at a breeding clearinghouse in Missouri, which is one of the number one puppy mill states in the union, has 3,500 registered breeders. They call themselves breeders. They work out of they're cow barns, they're pig barns.
Yeah.
The Amish farmers who are the Amish in Pennsylvania and other areas are unfortunately very well known for having, a callous attitude to their farm animals. And then they began to breed dogs because it was a better cash crop than piglets or peanuts or whatever else they might have bred. And what I saw in that building took my breath away. The first thing when you came in, it was all these Amish farmers with boxes of puppies that they were selling for $10, $20, $30 each to this place that would clean them up and ship them off to all the pet stores. And when you came in the door, there was an enormous booth, a greeting booth from the AKC, with pretty dressed women, very New York looking women, and everyone was given a free bag and a free water bowl that said AKC, and they were given incentives to register their litters before they were born, to register them after they were born for only $10 here and $10 there. No questions asked about the conditions
That's
those dogs were living in, or even if they were legitimately, you know, papered animals. Anyone can forge them. My God, you can forge, you know, a bearer bond on your own computer. You can imagine how easy it is to forge those. So I just wanted to take that opportunity, Barry, to say that you did save three puppy mill puppies, and you had to pay for it, and then you had to spend a great deal of time and money and love to make them well again. And it's just a caution to people that don't be fooled by papers. I know that is not at all why you were drawn to these little guys. They're like little children to you. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate how devoted you are to them. But it's very important to get the message across in this season of dog shows and dogs winning and dogs being worth a lot of money to understand that the business of the AKC is the business of registering litters and individual puppies. It's their business model. They're called a nonprofit. They're only there. Their main source of income, $40 million a year, is registry. So if anyone does somehow wind up with an AKC dog, please don't register it unless you intend to go to a dog show and breed it. Otherwise, you're just giving money to perpetuate the problem. So it's funny that Sean and I, yet again, are on the same side of the fence. Okay, Barry, we've soapboxed enough. Actually, we're going to – if you'll hold on. Doug, do not lose Barry, whatever you do. We have to go to a break because we're overdue for our first break. But we're going to talk to you, Barry, in just 1 second. You hold on, and we'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses no inferior rendered byproducts, meals, or chemicals in any of their products. Halo is purely focused on your pet's well-being. No chicken meal or other rendered meats. Halo foods are guaranteed safe and have never been recalled. Halo's entire line, including treats, supplements, and grooming supplies, will help your pet be vibrant, happy, and healthy inside and out. This show is also brought to you by PetFlow.com, an online store for pet foods and more that is privately owned by pet lovers like you who want to give their dogs and cats the best nutrition possible with the least hassle for themselves. The real value is the auto delivery schedule. For people who go to the same store and have to drag home the same food every month, PetFlow.com is perfect for you. There are over 200 brands, in particular the ones we love on the show, like Halo, Waruva, The Honest Kitchen, Nordic Naturals, Precious Cat Litter, and many more. There is free shipping with a minimum $49 order and no sales tax except New York, New Jersey, and Nevada. The link is on RadioPetLady.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat Litter, which is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. Catattract Litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box and has helped get thousands of cats back into their litter boxes. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the Precious Cat litters with special offers at RadioPetLady.com. Before we get back to Barry, I just want to give you that number again. If you're thinking of calling and asking us a question, you can see that it inspires us to talk a lot about things that we haven't thought about. But we love that. We love a dialogue. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And that wonderful Halo Food has an introductory special for our listeners. For only $20 and no shipping fee, you get a small bag of their kibble, which is the kibble I actually feed my own dogs, can of food, treats, and live a little. So it's a great way to taste all of the various wonderful products that Halo makes. Barry, we're back. Tell us your question. Barry?
Are you there, Barry?
Oh, don't tell me.
Did we lose him?
Ay, ay, ay. Doug, we got to do something about our phone lines. Barry, call us back in. Well, he should be there, but he's not hearing us somehow or other. Okie dokie. I'm going to give you the number one more time, 888-627-6008. Barry did have a question, and we thought we could get him to hold easily, but apparently not easily enough. That needs to be sorted out for sure. 888-627-6008. All right, while we're waiting for Barry to call back, because we know he's going to, I didn't mean to interrupt it, but we had to go to our break. We had another question, Sean, from early on. Let's see. Elizabeth in Smithfield, Rhode Island. I have two dogs and two cats. I did have a question about one cat, Boots. He's a dwarf cat, which I guess is a breed. Dwarf cat? I'm not that familiar with a dwarf cat, but maybe she just means a teeny tiny one. He's a dwarf cat who seems to have an excessive grooming problem. He will periodically lick himself until his skin is raw. We take him to the vet, and they give him a shot to make him not itchy, but about every 3 months he starts again. What else could I do to help him? I don't like taking him for shots all the time. Hear, hear to that, right? We have switched his food. I brush him a lot. He loves it. I try playing with him a lot in case he's just bored. He's an indoor cat. Any ideas? Thanks. I think this cat needs Feel Away, which is one of the marvelous things you can get from Dr. Sean's own online store. Don't you think that a Feel Away diffuser would help? This cat may have a lot of stress, Sean. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nose. You know, these cats, my guess is this poor cat's probably been treated with high doses of steroids for quote-unquote itching or over-grooming. Now, you know, when you look at feline dermatology is very, very challenging and somewhat frustrating. When you look at dog dermatology or people dermatology, with some exceptions, there are certain what are called skin patterns or disease patterns. So I can have a dog that comes into my office and look at its skin, get a good history from the owner, and pretty much narrow it down to a few things that could cause that particular dog's reaction pattern on the skin. and are treated appropriately. Cats are really frustrating because cat skin, regardless of the cause, I don't care if we're dealing with something like a stress situation, possibly this cat has, or allergies, which this cat could also have, or flea problems, or internal disease like diabetes or even cancer, when you look at cat skin, it only reacts in a few ways. Number one is hair loss. Number two is over-grooming and subsequent hair loss. Number three would be what's called miliary dermatitis, which are basically little scabbed bumps on the cat's skin. And number four is eosinophilic dermatitis, which is where you have these red plaques or red lesions. The problem is, regardless of the disease, that's how the cat's skin is going to look, one of those four patterns. So you can't look at a cat's skin and say, oh, it's this disease. No, it could be one of a thousand diseases. Now we need to start diagnosing it. So my approach to this cat would be, it sounds like she switched diets, hopefully to a canned diet like we've talked about, and a good natural diet. Hopefully this cat is not getting too many vaccines because that can cause itching and self-mutilation. I agree the feel-away would be a great way to start. And you mentioned my website. We have some feel-away products on there. I would also give this cat an herbal supplement I made called Zhao Skin Allergy Formula, which you can easily put on the cat's food. It's also on the website. It's a nice herbal alternative to steroids for dogs and cats. Now, if this cat doesn't get better, instead of continuing to give it steroids, at some point in my practice, I'm going to give this cat a little light anesthesia and do a skin biopsy and have the pathologist look at the skin microscopically to tell me what kind of cells are attacking the skin. And that can help me decide, is this more allergy or stress or a combination, or maybe something we're not even thinking about today. So I'd say the feel-away, the good diet, the Zhao skin allergy support, and of course anything else you want to do like the Nordic Naturals fish oil, all of that is just wonderful for any sort of skin problem in cats and dogs.
That's a really great, and Barry's back, so Barry, you hold on.
Great.
We know you're there. We're going to come back and get you, but I just want to say what a great and thorough answer that is, Sean, because it's not just it's all one thing or all another. As you say, you can't even tell with the naked eye, but you have to be well-versed enough in the things that can go wrong with an animal's skin to say, I need to send this off to a lab and have them look at it under a microscope. And certainly steroid injections are something that people are rightfully concerned about, and all they do is deal with the symptom, not the cause, and it keeps coming back in this cat. So giving an omega-3 fish oil in Nordic Naturals is our choice, and we invited them to be advertisers because it's so pure and so fresh, and it's dosed according or the serving size is according to the animal's size. It's an anti-inflammatory, but it sounds like that's just going to help control the situation, as are is your – how do you spell Zhao, the herb?
Oh, it's a Chinese herb. It's X-I-A-O, Zhao Skin Allergy Support.
That's skin allergy support. Okay, so people need to go to RadioPetLady.com, and you'll see the link right there to Dr. Sean's store, PetCareNaturally.com, but there's a secret code gives you 10% off. So go to RadioPetLady.com, and then you'll see right there the link to Dr. Sean's store. That's a really cool answer, and Elizabeth in Smithfield, Rhode Island, you've been waiting a while for that answer, but I hope you're listening, honey. The number for everybody else is 888-627-6008. Barry, forgive us. We're back. You're back, and we'd love to know what your question is.
Okay. I have a two-year-old Siberian, and all Siberians mostly have long hair. I'm very concerned because for the last year and a half, I fed Tigger is his name. I fed him Hill Science Diet Hairball Formula. And I'm a big Facebook, you know,
user.
Onlooker, and, you know, I always post and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've seen on Hill Science Diet Formula's page that there was a lot of HMOs and corn and even soy
in
their product.
You mean GMOs, I think, not HMOs.
GMOs, I'm sorry.
Right. Genetically modified. You know, the real problem with a diet like that, which says it's about hairballs, is that it's a dry food, right? So your Siberian needs to be on a wet food. And so there's often these dry foods that call themselves all kinds of things. It's for indoor cats. It's for multiple indoor cats. It's for indoor cats that yawn three times on Thursday. Dry food is not the appropriate diet for an obligate carnivore. And putting all kinds of different things on the bag, your cat shouldn't have hairballs if your cat's eating a wet diet with some Nordic Naturals fish oil on it. Hairballs would just pass through their body if they have nice wet food and lovely slippery fish oil. So a dry food sort of clogs up the intestines, clogs up the digestive system. of an animal that isn't genetically set up to digest plant fibers and highly processed carbohydrates. So okay. It doesn't matter that you didn't know this until now, because most of us didn't. Most of us were taught. Sean was taught in vet school. The vets taught the people. The people got the convenience of feeding out of a bag. And it's only now, about 20 years since feeding cats out of a bag became the most popular way to feed them, that we're seeing just a heartbreaking epidemic of diabetes in cats who never, ever had diabetes before. It is directly linked to this rise in feeding dry food only, and kidney problems, and urinary tract problems, and crystals. So if you can get him onto a nice wet food, there's a really nice downloadable printable list on my website of all the Cat Chat approved foods, meaning anything in a can that has not much more than 10% carbohydrates, you'll be getting him on a lifetime of health, and you won't have to worry anymore. And any dry food you have, give it to a feral cat group, because they – you know, don't have the ability to feed wet food twice a day. They have to put out dry food.
Okay, would you suggest a certain brand?
I'd suggest any of 30 brands. I mean, there are so many great canned cat foods. I mean, our favorite happens to be Waruva, and that's why we invited them to advertise, because the foods could be eaten by you and me. They're human-grade ingredients made in a human food factory to the European Union standards, which are much higher than the American food standards. So okay. Waruva also makes a food called BFF, Best Feline Friend. They also make something called Cats in the Kitchen, which is in a pouch. Just fabulous food. So delicious. Okay. For the little Chi-Chis, they make beautiful food for small dogs. A little too pricey for big dogs, but, you know, just super quality food. If you go to petflow.com and you're a first-time customer, and you spend $49, which if you get a few cases of food for the dogs and the cats, it's not that hard to do. You can also buy some Nordic Naturals there. You get $10 off by putting CatChat10 in the code box. You get 10 bucks off your first order. So that's just a very nice, convenient way. No tax, no shipping, kind of works. Barry, we'd like to give you the Cat Attract coupon for tonight. So that I'm going to mail that to you. Maybe you would be kind enough to send me to radiopetlady@gmail.com. If you could send me your mailing address again, we'd love to send you a coupon for a free container of Cat Attract litter, which is going to make that Siberian very happy when he gets into the litter box, okay?
Thank you so much. You guys are great.
It's a pleasure. You're great with all of your guys and all these animals you're giving a great life to and a great home to, and they're your family. And we just love to see a young guy who was really dedicated to his pets, you know? Can't
you're
start
doing a
too
job.
Early. That's right.
Thank you.
I mean, you care.
That.
You're asking these questions. So many
way
of us.
Way to go, Barry.
Yeah, way to go is right. So you write me your address again, sweetie, and you're going to have this lovely free coupon. Okay, here comes the number again, and then we're going to talk to Thomas. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Some crazy little message popped up on my screen. That is most peculiar, saying Thomas Ray is on the line. I tell you, technology is fascinating. Someone from Mars has interrupted us. Really? Okay, so here's a question. I want to go through some of our email questions, Sean, because otherwise we'll never catch up. But those
we invite people to email us too, by the way, because if you can't get through on the air or don't want to talk, maybe you're a little shy, email us and we'll try to get your questions.
That's right. A good point. Or you work. There's a couple of people have written and said, I work Tuesday nights until 11 o'clock Eastern time. It must be on a swing time or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Flex time or something. So, of course, do that. And we've had – there's actually a gentleman that did write in. After our break, I'm going to find his question. I saved it for you because Donna Spector wasn't so into the topic. It wasn't so knowledgeable about it.
Okay.
Feeding something very naturalistic. Oh, God, he's going to kill me if I don't find this email. Okay, here's from Carolyn. I cook food for my dogs and give the cats Waruva, except for one stinker who refuses to eat anything but Fancy Feast. Do you think there's a healthy way to cook food for cats? I like Waruva, but I feed the chicken, and it seems too limited in nutrients. I was thinking of just adding some turkey giblets to it, maybe. If I try to feed the Waruva turkey, they eat around the giblets for some reason, and the nuggets are too small already to chop up. What do you think? Well, I mean, Platinum Performance, one of our marvelous advertisers, makes a fabulous supplement for cats. If you put that supplement on anything that's protein that you want to feed your cats, go ahead. It's the taurine, most particularly, that's missing in everything except for mouse. It's necessary for cats to have added taurine in their food. And the Platinum Performance Supplement is both a joint supplement and an overall health supplement. How do you feel about people cooking for their cats?
The main concern I've got, like you mentioned, Tracy, is just make sure you have a nice balanced diet. A lot of my clients like to cook or sometimes even feed raw to their pets, and we just work with them to make sure it's not just meat for cats or not just meat and veggies for dogs. You know, if you eat just meat, there's certainly some calcium deficiency. You need to add some other things. Now, a few years ago, actually more than a few years ago, I wrote a book called The Natural Health Bible for Dogs and Cats, and there are some recipes in there for dogs and cats. So that's a good starting point. I like variety, so I think if you're going to cook for your cat or dog, switching different protein sources, different kinds of meat or fish, whatever, I think is fine. You know, most cats don't enjoy vegetables or fruit as much as others, but if your cat does, you can certainly add some nice organic veggies or fruits and just kind of balance it out. And then, as you mentioned, some sort of supplementation just to balance the diet. And I would say work with your vet. Most vets are really not into people cooking for their pets, unfortunately, unless you're lucky enough to have a holistic vet, but at least something to help balance it. And, you know, I know, even though I don't cook for my dog and two cats, when we're cooking for ourselves, we'll give the pets some people food, and they love it. So I think it's a nice treat for them, and they enjoy it, the heck out of it.
That's a good point. And Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins used to say that nothing her cats like better, that because she's a total meatitarian. She's like so, you know, Dr. Atkins kind of diet.
Okay.
And she'll often give little bites of steak tidbits to the cats.
Oh, yeah. They love it.
Yeah, so that's a really nice thing to do. That number is 888-627-6008. We're going to go off for a break, and when we come back, I'm going to scour my brain for the name of this thing that he puts in his water for his cats. It's like allopurinol or aluminum or something.
Is it aloe vera?
No, I wish that I'd know what it was.
Okay,
we're going to go to a break, and maybe we can scour my brain and find it. It should be here, but it's not. We'll be right back. This show is also supported by Halo, a small private company owned in part by Ellen DeGeneres, where they genuinely are dedicated to pet health. The company emphasizes giving back by making impressive charitable donations through freekibble.com to shelters and rescues because they believe that less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. You are what you eat is true for animals as well as for us, which is why Halo is the only kibble I feed my own dogs. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no scary mystery ingredients that are permitted in rendered kibble. There are even shreds of real vegetables along with the dry nuggets. It's why I'd love you to try Halo too. The good folks at PetFlow.com have found a way to surprise you and your pets every month with their Spoiled Rotten Club. There's a separate Spoiled Rotten box for cats and dogs, and each is filled with treats, toys, and accessories you may have never seen before. And all the edible products are made in the USA. It costs only $24.99, which is less than the actual cost of all the amazing goodies in the box. And shipping is free. It makes a great gift that keeps on giving, especially if you're the grandparent of fur kids, because everybody knows grandparents spoil the grandchildren. Go to RadioPetLady.com for the link from PetFlow.com right to the Spoiled Rotten Club. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat Litter, which is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. Respiratory relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the Precious Cat litters with special offers at RadioPetLady.com. Okay, guys, here's that number again, 888-627-6008. Sean, here's a question from Sandra in Reseda, California, who actually got the doggy goo because she had allergy skin problems with her labs. And she says, but my real question is about supplements. I feed my dogs with home-cooked meals, and I give them supplements to compensate for the nutrients that they might be missing. However, I do want to make sure I'm on the right track. You mentioned a link for pet supplements that I can't remember. And I guess that's the worrisome thing. People think, well, I'll supplement, but they don't really know what they're supplementing with, right? I mean, isn't that one of the problems? I mean, the need for calcium is so high for dogs that, you know, and then people think, well, I've heard people say, oh, I just grind up eggshells. No, don't just grind up eggshells, because eggshells are not even healthy. Eggshells are coated with stuff. I mean, they're factory made, unless you raise those chickens and eggs yourself. And even then, that's not bioavailable, right? Isn't that right, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, you're basically just, you know, giving them some eggshells. I think, you know, calcium carbonate would certainly be better, or some sort of freshly ground bone meal is probably the most natural thing you can do. But as far as supplements, and we can give the website out again, how they can get to my website. There are a lot of supplements on there. I think there are some basic supplements you can use, like fish oil, like antioxidants, like health maintenance formulas. You know, we've talked in the past about if your pet's a little bit older and you want to do some brain support, I like phosphatidylcholine as a supplement. But as you mentioned, if you're concerned about certain conditions, maybe you've got a larger breed of dog, you're concerned about arthritis. Maybe you've got a cat that's like a Persian that might be prone to some kidney problems. Work with your holistic vet to find the right mix of supplements that are focused on that pet's genetic predisposition to develop a problem. Or if you have an older pet with a problem, you know, don't do what so many people do when they come to see me. I'll get people coming to see me for a second opinion for whatever disease we're talking about. Then they bring in a grocery bag full of stuff from the health food store, and I'm looking at all this, and it's all this money they spent. It's usually human supplements. There's no dosing on there that's appropriate for pets. Right. The pet won't take it because it's not the right form. And it's like, okay, you just spent $200, throw it away. Now you got to spend some more money with me giving you the right things. Start with the right things first, and then let's build upon that.
That's really good advice. And one of the reasons that Platinum Performance became an advertiser on the show is they know that both you and I believe that supplementation, even just in theory, if you don't get Platinum, then the very theory of supplementation is really important, because the brain, the joints, everything, you know that yourself as you get on in years, it all begins to fall off a little bit. In fact, I think that one of the promotions for Platinum on the show describes a very scientifically done study that showed that just the regular Platinum Performance, which I've always been using as a joint supplement for my dogs from the time that they're young, because there's a preventive aspect to it as well as when a dog already has arthritis, that it also supports brain function, probably has some of the ingredients that some of the supplements that you have.
Yeah.
And those dogs that were on the Canine Performance formula actually did better on IQ tests, like getting out of a maze or getting food out of a dispenser. So the important thing is not to just say, well, I take this and my kids take that, so I'll give them some of this and that. I mean, the Nordic Naturals fish oil is necessary for all of us every day, a full dose for our body weight every single day. And it used to be thought you could give it once a week or every so often, and research has shown the cells need to be loaded with these omega-3s because our own diets and our pets' diets have so many omega-6s and 9s. All you have to know is that it's a health tonic, you know, that it's absolutely essential, and it's a health tonic.
Absolutely.
And beyond that, you know, you can fiddle around with other stuff, but I love you saying, you know what? It's not really calcium. It's an eggshell. And, you know, you really it's really just eggshells. Who says
it's all going to pass right out in the poop anyway? You're not going to digest stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's bioavailable means your body can really take it in. So it's an important difference. That number is 888-627-6008. And I'm going to just jump to another question that isn't really a health one, but just something that I thought was important to read on the air so people heard a little bit about Sleepy Pod, which is on my website, which is RadioPetLady.com. This is someone that used to listen to us on Martha, on the Martha channel of Sirius. Some time ago, you mentioned a type of cat carrier that you highly recommend in a bubble shape. We travel in the car with our two American curled cats each weekend, and one just doesn't love it. He will pee in his carrier sometimes. What has the most success is giving him anxiety drops from our holistic vet. Yay, she has a vet like you. And putting him in a little doggy seat harnessed in the front so I can pat him. Now, here's the smart part. We're worried if there was an accident, he wouldn't be safe with the airbag, so I wanted to try another type of carrier and was interested in the one you mentioned. So I just wanted to just take a moment to talk about car safety and cats.
People
don't even think about it with dogs, little dogs. They hold them on their lap. And just the way you wouldn't hold a newborn infant on your lap or an infant or even a three-year-old on your lap ever. I mean, it's actually against the law. You can get a ticket for that because the little soft creature or the little tiny human gets thrown around in the car when you're hit or when you you run into something or it runs into you. And you can break your neck if you're little and small and vulnerable. You can crack your head. You can actually fly out the window. So one of the nice things about Sleepy Pod is that it's a bed as well as a carrier. And that's very comforting for small dogs and cats because it's also very beautiful. So you keep it in your house out as a bed. And then the top just attaches to it when you're ready to go in the car or to the vet or you have to evacuate in an emergency. And it is the only carrier of any kind that has actually passed the federal crash testing for infant car seats. Others have said they've been tested, but what they didn't tell you was they didn't pass the test because something that's just like a duffel bag has no protective qualities to it. And the Sleepy Pod was designed by a trio of young designers in Pasadena who adore their cat, Roll Roll, who's a Bengal, and travel with him everywhere. And they realized that the carriers that existed didn't in any way protect him. So if you're going to take your small dog or cat in the car, they need to be in a carrier that can withstand any kind of impact and protect your pet. What other kind of harnesses and carriers may do is protect people because, as it sometimes says in the fine print, your pet does not become a projectile that's a danger to you. But I don't think that's our only concern, Sean, if we're going to have a car accident. You know, oh, I don't want Binky to fly in, you know, hit me in the head and mess my hairdo. We really don't want Binky to be flying around for Binky's sake.
Not at all.
So the Sleepy Pod is a wonderful carrier. They're really cool looking. There's one called the Air Pod, I think, for airplane travel for dogs or cats that will fit under any seat. And then when you after you take off, it can expand to be more comfortable for them because it's only during takeoff that they actually need to be under that seat in front of you. So they've thought of all those things. While we give out the number again, we will go to another break. I think I might have lost track. I don't know if which break we're on, but we can certainly afford to take a break because we're hoping for any of you to call with questions. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. But we're not going to go to a break because guess what? Carmelita is here and we are thrilled. Is this Carmelita that I used to talk to 120 years ago, Carmelita?
Yes. Yes, I've always been out there in your listening audience for this whole time.
Oh, my God. Carmelita. Oh, Sean, she probably listened to you, too. Carmelita was one of my
absolute... Yes, I called Dr. Sean.
Oh, my God.
Welcome back, Carmelita.
We're so great that you found us, sweetheart. She was one of my very first
callers. Yes, a friend of mine who lives in Chicago told me about this computer thing, and so she taught me how to find it, and I have.
Oh, I love her.
You know, I'm blind, and I use a Jaws program, and she helped me, you know, learn how to find it. So I found you tonight.
Oh my God, that is so cool. Well, Carmelita, if you can remember this, send me an email to radiopetlady@gmail.com, and I'd like to send a precious cat coupon for you and for your friend in Chicago, so you can each get a free jug of cat attractor. That's so nice of her. You know, I have to
say. Yeah, it was very nice of her because I was so upset because I just listening to reruns on that station. I didn't
know
what was going on. So I called my friend, and I had her research it, and so she found the program for me. She told me how to find it, so
she's
really
great. Oh, my God,
great.
We love her. That is so nice of her. Yes, that was a little frustrating that we couldn't tell each one of our listeners in real time, but it's the miracle of the Internet is that people are finding out and telling each other, but I have to say it really
That's
means
good.
A lot to us to have our longtime listeners because you guys have heard our advice for so long, and you know, you're part of the family, really, because then you kind of take our advice and then you tell us how it worked and you say, well, that didn't work. And we say, okay, never mind. Go back to the drawing board. We'll figure it out again. That's really great. I just want to let you know, Carmelita, that in about 2 weeks at the beginning of March, this show is going to be the main show on an entire network of pet shows called Radio Pet Lady Network.
I know. She told me that, too.
Great. And then it's going to be very easy. It'll be very easy at that point.
What time is it going to come on?
It's going to be on 24 hours a day. So our show, Sean's and my show, will be on every Tuesday night at our normal time, but it's going to replay numerous times during the week and twice on the weekend. And then there's going to be all these other really cool pet shows. Greg Cleva, that used to be on the other network, It's a Dog's Life. We have a pet food advisor, the expert vet, Arden Moore with Four Legged Life, and Cat Crazy with Amy Shojay, who's a cat behaviorist. So we have lots of fun shows. And then
it's going to be great. I love pets.
Well, I know. Isn't that great? How are things going in your pet world? Do you have any pet questions?
Oh, yes, I do. I wanted to point out about I have a new puppy. And
congratulations.
She's a German Shepherd. She got her puppy vaccination. But the question that I have is because the breeder gave her a shot at age 6 weeks, I don't know, the vet went into this thing about the antibodies from the mom or something.
That's
something that she said she needs another shot.
That's right.
She's already had two, and then
the rabies. It's true. It's true. Parvo.
Okay, so I'm guessing she probably got distemper and parvo. Now, this is good. We're talking about vaccines. I used to talk about this a lot on my show on Martha's channel. You know, so many of these puppies get over-vaccinated. And even though I'm a holistic vet, I know we're still probably over-vaccinating puppies a little bit because, Carmelita, as you just mentioned, the mother dog, if she was vaccinated properly or had natural immunity from exposure to disease like distemper or parvo, she's going to pass those antibodies to those diseases in her milk to the puppies when she nurses and in her blood system, in her bloodstream, when the puppies are growing inside of her. And these are called maternal or mother antibodies. Now, we know that those maternal antibodies will disappear from the puppy's body at some point, usually between 2 to 4 months of age. The problem is we don't know for each puppy and each disease exactly when in that 2 to 4 month period they're disappearing, but we still want to offer the puppy some protection. So sometimes the first immunization, especially if it's done too young, at 4 to 6 weeks of age, probably is not helping the puppy at all because the mother's antibodies are still present. As the mother's antibodies start to disappear and eventually do disappear, then subsequent vaccinations can help. The one thing I see way too often, though, is these veterinarians are giving these puppies sometimes at 4 or 6 weeks of age, 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later. That's way too soon. Yeah. Anything sooner than 3 to 4 weeks is not going to work. It's going to set the puppy up for vaccine reactions, and we don't want to give the puppy a vaccine for everything in our refrigerator either.
That's, Carmelita, this is a really great explanation, but see, it's interesting because Sean sees this from another point of view from me. He sees people who are vaccinating way too young and way too frequently. What I'm aware of, and the Whole Dog Journal just had a whole article about how another disease that everyone thought had been cured has now turns out is in the wildlife, coyotes, fox, it's out there, and animals are getting it. And there are a lot of good breeders, I mean the best kind of breeders, that aren't vaccinating half the litter. So there's a lot of German Shepherd breeders and other breeders, Rottweilers, where they, and in this case, the article was about a Rhodesian Ridgeback breeder. And they've got this kind of mythology amongst themselves, which is, just vaccinate half the litter and they will, quote unquote, shed the shell cells to the other one. Well, she lost two of the puppies that she didn't vaccinate at all. So, you know, you have to vaccinate, you know, because the thing is, we don't know how many antibodies that one mom had. It's not like every mother is filled with antibodies and they're passing them on strength with a lot of strength. So Sean's right, way too young is too young, but you have to duplicate just that first one, right? Sean, isn't that the one that's the overlap one?
The first one's a bit potential overlap. And once again, you know, this is very much an individual thing. Vaccinations, like anything in medicine, should be looked at as an individual decision between you and the veterinarian. I'm giving you guidelines, but I change these guidelines every day depending upon what I see in my practice.
Right.
Right. I have an appointment to vaccinate her for that, you know, the third, you know, that extra shot. So that's why I thought I'd call you and ask you just to be sure I was doing the right thing.
As long as it's not any sooner than about 3 to 4 weeks, and we, what breed of puppy is this?
German Shepherd.
Be careful with German Shepherds. You know, these poor dogs, their immune systems are so screwed up, especially if you get an American German Shepherd.
Yes.
The German Shepherd is a healthier breed.
Yes.
So just be careful. They need some immunization, but they get so many horrible things. You just have to watch that we're not overdoing it.
You do need a vet who's very knowledgeable about German Shepherds, Carmelita, because they have tremendous digestive problems that are genetic, that are inherited.
Skin problems.
Skin problems.
I know. I used to have a German Shepherd, but he got very. I recently had to rehome him, and I'm real sad about that. But he acted like he just started hating the cats, and I can't have that. You know.
That's terrible. But
he had a lot of anxiety, and he'd bark real awful. You know, when the cats were around. And I had to rehome him because I couldn't be scaring my cats.
That's right. Those are those hard decisions, I must say. Well, Carmelita, we are absolutely thrilled that you called. Now, you remember to send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com because I'm sending you two coupons. That friend in Chicago, what's her name? What's her first name?
Her name is Sherry.
Sherry, sweetheart, I hope she's listening. We're so happy that she went out of her way for someone who's sight impaired to help you find us. It's definitely a challenge. Once we're a full network, you can just click on radiopetlady.com and it'll take you right to the network and you can click and listen to us live right off the website or on an iPhone.
Hold on, let me tell you something though. I had a little bit of trouble clicking on, finding that button that appears on it. You're supposed to click on
yes.
it. I had to have my daughter help me with that. I couldn't find where to click on it.
Well, you know what? It's frustrating, and we realize that this is kind of like a learning curve for all of us. But in two more weeks, the whole website will be a magic button. You know, you're just going to go there and click on something very obvious. We'll make sure that even if people have no sight or, you know, mediocre sight or
they're distracted. Yeah, make sure that
That's
a good
point.
Sure that people that use JAWS, the JAWS speech program, can click onto it.
Good point. My engineer is listening. The JAWS speech program. Okay. That's right. Because it has to tell you what to do. And your seeing eye dog can't do it for you, right?
Right.
Not exactly. Well, Carmelita, we are thrilled you found us, really. And it's a great question because vaccines is really a big topic here. So have a great night. Keep on listening. Tell your friends, okay? Thrilled to hear from you,
sweetie.
Wonderful. We are going to go for the break now, but I was too afraid to miss Carmelita, Sean, because I knew that's such a rare name.
That's a very good question, yeah.
It was a great question. It was just great to have a listener that listened to us both for so many years find us here. Okay, here's the number, 888-627-6008. You call while we go to a break, and we'll talk to you when we come back. This show is also brought to you by Whole Life Pet, a family-owned and run company that makes small batches of treats by hand in their state-of-the-art freeze-drying machines at their location in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, using one pure protein, poultry, meat, fish, and cheese. All their products are sourced, produced, and packaged in the United States, assuring quality and safety along with support for the American economy. Send your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com for a free box of Whole Life Pet samples. Support for the show comes from Waruva, a family-owned company that makes canned food for cats and little dogs in a facility that makes people food, which means the ingredients are good enough for us to eat. They use smaller-bodied fish in their recipes for optimal health for your pets. All the varieties of Waruva and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, are available at PetFlow.com, which is also a supporter of this program, with special offers at RadioPetLady.com. Dr. Sean's online store at PetCareNaturally.com offers feel-away for cats and adaptal diffusers and collars for dogs, along with many of the supplements he uses in his own practice of integrative holistic medicine. He has developed a number of healthy products like Itch Relief Shampoo, All Natural Herbal Earwash, Olive Leaf Plus, and CI Support, supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the 10% off code and monthly specials for Dr. Sean's store at PetCareNaturally.com. Sean, I have a question about ear cleaning and ear care that I've never really fully understood.
Okay.
So you have this great natural ear cleaner, which I've used. Only one of my three dogs really gets kind of dark, waxy coating on the inside of his ear. They don't get red and irritated like some people's dogs, but, you know, you lift up his ear flap, he's a Weimaraner, and it's all kind of, you know, like tarry, if you will, dark and tarry.
Okay.
I've never understood why it's correct and possible, and it works, to pour or squirt some liquid like your ear wash or a good thing like you're washing, not just any liquid, obviously, yeah, not like your cooking oil, into sure their ear and massage it around and then use a bunch of Kleenex to gently wipe it out. Why does it clean an ear or make an ear healthy to put liquid into it? Like if we think of our own ears and swimming, it's a nightmare when water gets in your ear canal. Obviously, the dog's ear is made differently, but can you explain that?
Well, I mean, it really depends what you're putting in the ear. You know, when I developed this herbal ear wash, I did a lot of research to look at the medicinal properties of various herbs. And I knew that the ears I was going to use this on and prescribe it for fell into two categories. One would be like your dog that really doesn't have any infection, but we just want to clean the ears and leave them fresh smelling and maybe decrease the chance for infection down the road.
Right.
The other category that, of course, I see multiple times a day are dogs and sometimes cats, but mainly dogs, with ear infections, typically yeast infections, sometimes bacterial infections, sometimes ear mites. So I chose the herbs in the Dr. Sean's Natural Herbal Ear Wash to leave the ear clean smelling, fresh, reduce inflammation, reduce infection, etc. That's how those herbs went in there. Now, the base of the product is water. And on the one hand, it seems counterintuitive we're putting a water-based product in the ears. But
yeah,
I chose water because it's inexpensive, it's a good carrier vehicle, and unlike other products that have alcohol in there,
yes,
or sometimes boric acid, I don't want to sting, irritate, and upset
exactly
my pets. So
yes,
when you put the water in there, keep in mind it's carrying medicinal oils, or in this case, medicines, I guess, that are herbal medicines. You're putting it in there. The dog, of course, is going to shake its head and get a lot of that stuff out, and the residue is carrying the medicinal herbs, the peppermint oils, the tea tree oil, etc., that will stay in there in literally minute amounts to help clean the ear. And, of course, you're doing some physical cleaning yourself, some manual cleaning. Now, one thing I should point out about ear disease, if you're getting gobs of this stuff out of your pet's ear, it is possible we don't just have wax, we have an infection. So take your dog to the vet's. Let them swab the ear, look at it microscopically. If we have an infection, then I will flush the ears out with a medicated solution, sometimes under sedation, most of the time if the ear's not painful, just when the pet's awake. So we get a nice clean ear for you to start with at home when you're treating the pet. And I'll use the Olive Leaf Plus supplement that I created as a natural antibacterial antifungal agent that's given orally, plus the ear wash for usually 2 to 4 weeks. Then like you're doing with your Weimaraner, Tracy, just kind of as needed to keep the ears clean. And I've had real good success with that program so that most of my patients with ear infections never take drugs for their ear infections.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do, but if we can do everything naturally, orally, and topically, it works great. So the ear wash, the herbal ear wash, the Olive Leaf Plus instead of antibiotics and antifungal drugs works well for, say, 95% of my patients.
And then you have the maintenance where it doesn't get so built up. I don't
That's
understand,
right,
though, what happens to that water with the essential oils in it deep in the ear canal? Does it kind of evaporate or dry up on its own, or have you
It'll
left
evaporate.
Fluid?
I mean, the dog's shaking his head a lot. It is going to evaporate. It's not just going to sit in there. And, you know, like when I get out of the swimming pool, I don't use my own ear wash in my ears. I could. I use just a little alcohol to dry the ears out. My ears aren't red and inflamed. And, yeah, you know, there still is a little liquid in there, but that's going to dry and evaporate, which is normal for ears to do that. You know, you're going to get some airflow in there. So I really haven't found that these kinds of products increase the ear problems. I think they actually decrease the ear problems if you'll use them regularly.
They do decrease it. It just seems to me so odd. You'd think you wouldn't want to put fluid into a place that's kind of dark and maybe a little smelly and maybe a little clogged up. You wouldn't think that to put fluid in there, it's not like there's an exit. Where's the exit? You
know
what I mean?
Yeah, well, the exit's the same way you kind of enter. Basically, the dog
that's
will
right.
You're cleaning some out and the rest will just evaporate.
So the way they're built, they can get water out of their ears. It's probably
yes.
How they were put together so that they could be protected from being like swimming or something.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of dogs that dive into water and, you know, and obviously a lot of water must be forced into their ear canal and it doesn't cause them a problem.
No,
like
they shake
it. Dogs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. They'll just shake the stuff right out.
Okay. So that's a good thing to know that you, it's so funny. Once I brought my dogs with me to dinner to someone's house and a nice couple, she was not at all an animal critter person. So he loved these dogs and they didn't have a dog because she didn't care for dogs. So I brought them to dinner. And I was really astonished because at some point he was patting the dogs and he lifted their ears and he said, ah, you're a really good owner. Your dog's ears are clean. And I thought, wow, that's like someone who comes to your house and runs like a white glove, you know, across your piano to see if you've dusted recently. I guess that is a sign of good dog maintenance if underneath an ear flap you have a clean ear.
That's right. It looks good and smells good.
Yeah. And something that you know, you never know when someone that comes to your house to visit might check. So I think that your Herbal Ear Wash is a wonderful product. And the ones that sold at the vet, which I bought once when the ears were more inflamed, is very harsh smelling and very unpleasant to him. He was cringing and trying to get away. And when I switched
to
yours,
a lot of chemicals in there too.
Yeah, very harsh and really intense. Like, you know, it was either boric acid or alcohol, but it was like stung your eyes almost. It smelled so strong. That's not necessary. You don't need that kind of level of cleaning. You're not really cleaning the bottom of a swimming pool, which is
The boric acid and the alcohol will dry out the ear, but keep in mind that so often when you're using these products, there's probably some inflammation in the ear. So imagine if you have a cut on your skin, you
right.
Alcohol on it. It hurts. It stings.
Yeah, and then you've got an animal that doesn't want to be handled and doesn't want to.
You can't clean its ears with something nice and
exactly.
Natural. It isn't going to bother them.
And after I used yours for a while, he would just like almost offer his head and then lean against me because it felt very soothing and relaxing.
Well, that's
and gently.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it went from a guy who would like cringe and duck and try and get away to like welcoming it. And it really had to do with what I was putting in his ears. So that was kind of neat.
Good.
The number, guys, to call is 888-627-6008. Here comes another email. We adopted two cats, mom and kitten, about 6 weeks ago. Mom's about a year. Baby is now 5 months. They're very happy in our home, but I noticed about a week and a half or 2 weeks after they'd been here, mom started scratching her head excessively. It's now gotten to the point she's some bald patches and has moved on to scratching her spine and has a large bald spot. I reached out to the rescue. They were moved to 3 different foster homes over a short period of time to ask what food they had eaten before, thinking it might be a food allergy, which these things, by the way, I would basically say never are. But I haven't heard back any insight. She seems very happy and not bothered, but I worry about my poor kitty. Well, this must be an example of what you were talking about, Sean, of obviously it could be fleas. In which case, vector for cats.
Is a good possibility, yes.
Yeah, you'd know in no time. So the first thing you want to remove is the possibility that it's fleas because this mom and baby and the whole house will be infected with them. And
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And we had a caller that called in and was very lucky and was given like a 6-month supply of vector for cats from the company because she'd bought something else at her vet and the fleas were still jumping on the cat, even with this supposed parasite control. So you need to use Vectra just because it's the newest technology and the most effective in clinical studies and no adverse health reactions. But what else could it be, Sean? I mean, a bald patch on her spine, this was started with her head. Could that be one of the
just underlying allergies. You know, we talked about food, which isn't likely, but you always have to think about it. Fleas certainly are a possibility depending upon what area of the country this cat's living in. Basic environmental allergies are certainly a possibility too. You have to think about things like mange, which I've been fooled before with cat mange for sure. That can really sneak up on you. Or ringworm. Or, you know, I had an interesting case a couple of years ago with an older cat named Lars. I just saw Lars a few months ago because Lars, bless his heart, is about 20 years old and has developed kidney failure, although he's doing fine. It's a real common older cat disease.
Right.
But Lars came to visit me several times over the course of, several years ago, starting to see Lars with this typical reaction pattern with a little bit of hair loss and some scabs and some itchiness. And so in our area, environmental allergies are most common. Didn't see any signs of mange or ringworm on Lars. So we did some natural and some drug therapies for allergies. And Lars would kind of get better a little bit, but not as much as I expected, never really stayed good. So unlike many vets that just kind of keep giving drugs,
yes,
we actually believe in trying to find out the course or the cause of the disease. So we gave Lars a little test called a skin biopsy under anesthesia. I mentioned this earlier in the show.
Right.
We took a little bit of Lars's skin where these little scabs were located, and Lars actually had a disease called pemphigus, which is an autoimmune disease that looks just like allergies. It looks just like infections. And you keep treating for allergies and infections, and they never get better. I've got a couple of dogs in my practice with this. But now that we know Lars's disease, he's doing great. He takes minimal amounts of prednisone, several natural therapies, has been in remission for a couple of years. But once again, giving advice to this listener, if we're not making progress with the problem, you have to always keep going back and questioning the diagnosis. Even though we think we're right most of the time, and most of the time we are, if we're wrong, we can't ignore going back and doing some basic testing.
It's really good advice. And if you don't get results, just going back for steroid shots over and over and over is not a solution. That's just a temporary fix to
just
a very inflamed.
Just so you can find out what's going on.
Yeah, and then you have to find out what it is really. You don't just keep on treating the system, the symptom over and over and over. The number to call is 888-627-6008 if you're listening and have any questions for us. If you just like to listen to us read other people's questions, that's fine too. We're going to go off for another break. When we come back, I have a question from Liz in Arizona about Vectra and how Vectra works. So I want to explain how a topical parasiticide works to create a kind of shield on the skin of a pet. We'll be right back after this break. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs, which are used to create a positive environment for pets experiencing any kind of stress. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a signal of comfort in your pet's brain and are especially comforting for newly adopted cats and dogs. Feelaway diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household, for out-of-litter box issues, and to get a cat used to her carrier for travel or vet visits. Adaptil for dogs helps alleviate anxiety and stress-related symptoms in puppies and adult dogs and comes in a diffuser, spray, and the most effective way, a collar. You can find the pheromone products Feelaway and Adaptil through the link at RadioPetLady.com to Dr. Sean's own website store, PetCareNaturally.com. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is also brought to you by Platinum Performance, a supplement scientifically shown to improve the cognitive ability of dogs in a study designed to measure their learning ability. The dogs supplemented with Platinum Performance Canine Wellness learn faster than every other dog in the control group, navigating through a maze with greater ease than the ones not taking the supplement. When the dogs were tested on how well they remembered the skills learned in the first phase, dogs on Platinum Performance Canine Wellness demonstrated superior memory by completing the tasks more quickly. To give your aging dog that mental edge, especially as she gets older, go to the RadioPetLady.com website to find free samples and learn more. Vectra 3D for dogs also brings you this show. It is a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel ticks, fleas, mosquitoes, sandflies, lice, and mites. In scientific tests, Vectra 3D was shown to kill ticks fast and reliably for the entire month. Unlike older products, which don't last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which actually transmits Lyme and other tick-borne diseases, with Vectra 3D, ticks are killed just by coming into contact with your dog, but it's still safe for the people in your family. Vectra for dogs and cats is the anti-flea topical treatment that not only repels and kills fleas, but kills all three life cycles of the flea, ridding you of them permanently. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. And that fits right into Liz in Arizona's question. Regarding Vectra, she says, comments on the show are that the serum stays directly on the outside of their skin to provide a shield of sorts and not go into their system. How can this product not penetrate into their skin? I use this product and have had success. I just wasn't sure if I understood what was said. And that's exactly right. It is an oil-based protection, which doesn't enter your bloodstream. It doesn't cross the barrier, the skin barrier. You don't really want it to be in the bloodstream.
No, you'd like it to stay on the skin.
That's right. You want it to be on the skin. It repels all those various kinds of mites and parasites. You actually, the old idea that we all had when we first learned about topicals before the Japanese pharmaceutical company that designed and created Vectra came along, was you wanted to kind of quote-unquote poison the blood of the animal so that when the bad parasite bit it, it would suck, drink, what have you, this quote-unquote poison blood and die from it. That's what we all thought was the idea behind it. And maybe that was the idea behind some of the early products. I mean, these products go back 25 years now. That idea is no longer valid because it used to also be believed where ticks were concerned that they needed to be attached at least a minimum of 24 hours in order to create any problem, to pass any vector-borne disease to the host, whether it's us or our dogs. But in fact, it turns out there's no minimum amount of time. One bite from an affected tick that has Lyme or any of these horrible diseases, just the bite alone can transmit the disease before they engorge, before they clamp on, before they get gross. So you want the repellent, and that's what it in fact, it's called First Shield when Banfield Clinics sell it. That Vectra is the name of the product, but Banfield Clinics, which are all across the country inside PetSmarts, only like their own name, like a special name for all products for their clinics. So it's called First Shield, and no offense to anybody, I think it's a better name because that's what it is. It's a First Shield against any of these biting ticks and also mosquitoes that pass heartworm and these other diseases. So that's absolutely right. It's a barrier. And that's why you wait for it to dry before you let your dog swim. And if you're going to give a bath with shampoo, even a nice shampoo like Dr. Sean developed that you can also buy at petcarenaturally.com, it's preferable at the end of the month to wash your dog even with a non-soap shampoo and then apply the Vectra. Because if you really scrubbed and scrubbed, you'd wash it off. It's oil-based. But swimming alone won't do it. It clings to the skin. So we have Sherry on line two. Sherry, is this Carmelita's Sherry that's calling us?
Yeah, this is Carmelita's friend.
Oh,
she
Sherry,
said that I
you
call
are
and say hi to you guys.
Oh, we're so happy that you called. And how kind of you to have helped Carmelita to figure out how to click on the magic button on the computer to listen to us. We know that it's a little bit of a challenge for everybody at this point. I'm not very good at computer
stuff. Yeah, especially
stuff,
so. If you're blind.
Especially if you're blind. Now, do you have dogs and cats?
Yeah, I have three cats.
That's what I thought, because I said to Carmelita to please send me her address, but you could write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com and send me your address because we would love to send you a coupon for up to $20 worth of a big container of Cat Attract litter from the lovely advertisers on our show, Precious Cat.
Yeah,
really
I use
cool
Dr.
Litter.
Elfie's litter anyway.
That's right, exactly.
Well,
any kind of litter, especially one that really works and keeps the cats coming back to the box. What kind of cats do you have?
I have three Siamese.
Wow.
And one of them is from
Carmelita.
One of them is from Carmelita.
Yeah. I remember when she had a Siamese. Did she ever used to call you about that Siamese, Sean?
I don't really remember.
I only remember because she was always so preoccupied with the Siamese. And then he passed away, right, Sherry?
Yeah, she had her old one that had kidney disease, and he died. And she ended up then getting another pair, and she became a breeder. I mean, she has a mentor working with her and things like that, but she does a wonderful, wonderful job breeding kittens, preserving the older kind of Siamese who are now in the International Cat Association shown as Thai. And she sent me a really lovely boy that I showed to a Supreme Grand Championship. He was the first Supreme in the breed, and he was the original winner. And so, she was so attached to this cat that I think she had several people wanting him, and the reason that she let me have him was because she likes my knowledge about feline nutrition, because she has learned so much from listening to you guys.
Oh, that is so cool.
She is really, really on top of things, and she's so happy that we've been able to track you down.
Oh, but we're so happy, too, because, you know, it was hard for us. We felt a real attachment and affection to our listeners. I mean, it was 7 years. So it was hard for us, too, to, like, you know, the umbilical cord. No one even said, here's a scissor, cut it. It was just like, here one day, gone the next. And, you know, 1,000 repeats. And so no one really knows what's going on. But we thought we have got to pitch our tent in a new, more modern way so that everyone can reach us. You don't have to pay. You don't have to have a subscription. But at the moment, the click magic button is a little bit of a challenge. So when they're breeding Siamese, I know, Sean, that on my other show, Dog Talk, someone that was breeding, she called them old farm collies. Apparently, in the collie world of dog breeding, they want to retain the way collies used to be. Is that the same thing with the Siamese? They want to retain the way Siamese always
exactly.
looked?
Exactly. These are, well, there's different people having different ideas about the old style Siamese, but these are a breed club that's international, people in Europe and here, and they've imported cats from Thailand, which of course used to be Siam.
Wow.
And
right.
it's really to preserve the original, the very original native pointed Siamese, because just like in many dog breeds, a lot of times people think if a little of something's good, a lot of it must be
yes.
better, and they sort
yes.
of take it to an extreme.
Yes.
And that's certainly what has happened with this breed, as well as, you know, the Persian and
I would say that the Siamese for a long time was, at least to a non-cat breeder, was probably the most well-known of the purebred cats. I mean, everyone knew what one looked like. They knew what one sounded like. You know, if you thought of a purebred mm-hmm. cat, kind of Siamese came to mind as a kind of dramatic example. Was the problem with their eyes crossing, was this something that came from inbreeding?
Not necessarily. You know, that is actually a thing that is related to the pointed color pattern, which is a form
wow.
of partial albinism. It's a lack of pigment in the eyes, and there's something related to that about the way that the wires cross between, like, their eyes and their nerves and their
yes.
brain. And but it's there's not, like, one gene that you can just easily identify and breed it out. But people have managed over the years, over the decades, to gradually, you know, lessen the amount of it coming up in the breed.
I mean, this is what we mean
Siamese.
By responsible.
It's any pointed cat. It's a pointed, you know, domestic short hair with the same pattern. They have a more tendency to be cross-eyed than a cat with another color pattern, and the same with a Himalayan or a Ragdoll or anything with a pointed pattern.
Wow. Pointed meaning dark tips of the ears? Is that what you
mean
by
Yeah, pointed meaning the dark tips on the ears, the face, paws, tail,
yes.
and scrotum.
Yes,
which is the cool parts of the body. It's based on temperature.
Interesting. Cooler because
it's
an extremity.
They're all born totally white because they're coming from the heat inside their mother, and they gradually develop color on the coolest parts of their body.
That's pretty neat. That's and
they think
Thailand,
it might have been a mutation that was related to the heat, you know, because they're coming from a tropical area.
Yes. Isn't that amazing, Sean? I mean, this is what you mean by really responsible breeding, people that breed because they adore a breed of dog or cat, and they want to retain whatever its genuine characteristics were that almost evolved, you know, naturally, historically, and that were related to good health. And
yes.
and being a physical specimen that could do well in the real world, not like, and I think your point when you said, Sherry, the exaggeration, you look at French bulldogs and you look at pictures in a dog book of all the breeds, and what a French bulldog looked like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago isn't the very exaggerated look, just like with English bulldogs, where people liked, as you said, a little of something. Oh, that little squished face is so cute, and those big eyes. Let's do more of that. Let's make it
more and more and more squished. And, you know, then they end up with a bigger, bigger, bigger head. They end up with dogs
yes.
that can't even eat properly, you know, can't
That's
even
right.
breathe naturally.
That's right.
And
they can't give birth naturally.
Exactly.
I mean,
one thing I really
artificial.
Liked about this breed club was the motto is the most beautiful cat is a healthy cat.
Oh, I love that. Well, we would say hip hip to that for sure. Well, it is just so cool that you were able to help Carmelita find us and that you too found us. When you send me your to radiopetlady@gmail.com, when you send your mailing address, I'm going to send you that coupon, but also I'll send you some, and this is true of anyone listening, postcards about this show so that you can give one to your local pet store, to your mom, to your uncle, to your friends, to your coworkers, because that's how we want to get the word out. We want people to know that we have the show. It's here. We love dogs and cats and the people who care for them. And it's just, you know, a little bit of a challenge in the beginning for everyone to find us, but we know they're out there. And the other thing is that
I'm sure everybody will eventually track you down.
Oh, they're doing a very good job
I'll
already.
I'll send you Carmelita's address too.
That would be fantastic. That would be so great. Sherry, thank you for calling in and for finding us for Carmelita. And keep up the good work with the beautiful Siamese. I love that. We love to learn things from you guys, too. Have a great night. Thank you for calling. Well, that's really cool, Sean. You know, there's lots of people that know all kinds of things that may not be the things that we're focused on or know about. And that's pretty cool that a Siamese is born all white and then darkens up. I kind of like that, don't you?
You know, and as they get older, too, Siamese kittens usually don't start off with the crossed eyes. And there have actually been some interesting studies in the neural pathways in the cats. There actually is, in every pet, and every even in people, there's some crossing in the brain of the fibers from one eye to the other side of the brain and vice versa. But in Siamese, there really seems to be more of that and just decreased visual field, especially as the eyes become even more cross-eyed. They just don't have quite the visual field that other non-cross-eyed animals have. And when you look at the nerves in the brain, it's like she was saying, there actually is more crossing there that kind of corresponds to that. So it's kind of weird, but it's kind of neat in a way.
It is. It's weird and neat, and it's correlated with certain markings so that it doesn't matter what breed you are. Whatever breed of cat you are, this is, you're going to have that tendency because you have the points, as they're called, the dark bits. It's very interesting because if you think of some breeds of dogs, they're pointed. It's not referred to as pointed in dogs, but if you think of the colorations of Doberman Pinschers, Rottweilers, some other dogs, they all have that same black and tan coloring with the kind of in similar places. So it's curious that these genes kind of float around like that. Well, we're going to go to another break, and when we come back, we would be delighted to hear from you. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from Woruva, the pet food company that thinks dogs and cats should eat as well as we do. So their foods are made in a human food facility from ingredients we could eat ourselves. We salute Woruva's ethical decision to not make any dry food because they know that for optimal wellness, small dogs don't need highly processed carbohydrates, and that true health for cats who are obligate carnivores means they should eat only meat. Woruva's many different canned recipes, cats in the kitchen in pouches, and their more economical BFF, best feline friend, all offer your pets a wide variety of flavors and ingredients. Go to RadioPetLady.com for more information. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is brought to you with the support of Goo Silver, a holistic supplement for senior canines developed by a veterinarian to help aging dogs maintain mental sharpness and physical well-being. Goo Silver is a peanut butter-based lickable product with all-natural ingredients that is a broad-spectrum canine supplement addressing the special needs of your aging dog's mental state, anti-inflammatory ingredients for joint discomfort from arthritis, and antioxidants for his immune system. Visit GooSilver.com for more information. Dr. Sean's online store at PetCareNaturally.com offers feel-away for cats and adaptable diffusers and collars for dogs, along with many of the supplements he uses in his practice of integrative holistic medicine in Plano, Texas. He has also developed a number of healthy products like itch relief shampoo, all-natural herbal earwash, olive leaf plus, and CI support, supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the 10% off code and monthly specials for Dr. Sean's store at PetCareNaturally.com. Okay, Dr. Sean, here's some more emails. You wouldn't think we'd gotten through them yet. I just want to say to Lou, because Lou's going to listen to this podcast tomorrow, anyone who is listening now and then wish their friend could listen, oh, shoot, I wish you'd been there. It is podcast. It is in a library online. Go to RadioPetLady.com and you'll find it. And Lou said 2 weeks in a row, said, I teach on Tuesday nights. I think he teaches a college course. I can't listen, but I've got to know what Dr. Sean thinks about putting this stuff in the water. And it was like, I'd never heard of it. And so I had to wait for you because you're the totally holistic guy. Allopurinol, I don't know, aluminum something. Anyway, Lou, forgive me. Next week, I'm going to have your email printed out, and I'm going to be able to ask Dr. Sean. Here's a question from someone who says, I love your show. I have a question. My daughter recently took her Chihuahua to the vet for allergy issues, and the vet said no dairy at all for dogs. I've never heard of this before, so I was wondering what you thought. Thanks so much, Terry. I personally think that pets can be like humans. Some of them have some lactose intolerance. They get gassy or a bit of diarrhea if you give them dairy. which, by the way, is mostly milk because cheese and cottage cheese and yogurt have almost no lactose in them. But if your dog doesn't have that reaction, then it's a ridiculous piece of advice from my point of view. What do you think about it, Sean?
You know, I think, like you said, Tracy, it's really an individual thing. I don't think dairy per se is harmful for dogs and cats. I know that in our practice for dogs, especially, we have a saliva food hypersensitivity test we can do that can test for dairy and 20 other different food antigens, beef, soy, wheat, all of that. So that can kind of help guide us to recommend to people certain foods that they should avoid or certain foods that are probably safe to feed. So, you know, I hear all these blanket recommendations, and sometimes we even tell people, you know, don't feed wheat, don't feed all this.
Right.
Truthfully, I think so much of this is just very individual. I think blanket recommendations are probably okay as long as you keep in mind they don't apply to every pet under every circumstance. I think if the dog likes some dairy, I know my dog doesn't mind a little bit of ice cream or yogurt or cottage cheese or just regular cheese. That's fine, you know. Let the pet be happy and healthy. If the dog reacts to it, you're going to know because it's going to come right back up or come out the other end. And once again, we're not talking large amounts. We're talking small amounts of these things.
But you are funny. Does it matter ice cream? That's hilarious. I remember as a kid.
Healthy ice cream, though.
Yes, of course. Very high quality. Ben and Jerry.
That's right.
Right? I remember as a kid letting my dog lick my ice cream cone and how you have to teach a dog to lick because then another dog came along and I said, well, I'll give this dog a lick. I remember the dog went chomp and took the entire thing. But the look on his face was hilarious. I mean, he got like that brain freeze you get from too much ice cream all at once. But it was, you know, you would just say easy, 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 and you can teach your dog to lick your ice cream cone. Of course, you probably need to be a child to think this is a great idea and fun and happy. But I know a lot of people that let their dogs lick them on the lips. So what's the difference? Lick your ice cream cone or lick you on the lips. I'm not one to like being licked. So,
well, you know, I've actually probably kissed a lot of dogs in my life, and some of them were four-legged as well. So, you know, what can I say? Yeah.
What can you say? I mean, sometimes you just have to come out with these things. Now, my dogs get yogurt every single night as their evening, kind of like their evening treat, a big blob of plain yogurt, which I think is great. First of all, it's got protein. It's got probiotics. It's good for digestion. They're a little hungry because they get their dinner around 4:30 or 5. So after I eat, maybe it's 10:30, 11 at night. Rather than giving a biscuit or even a whole life pet protein, I just think that there's all those probiotics in yogurt are kind of nice. And the other thing that people, whether they're human or animal, seem to not have sort of the education about to know, milk is full of lactose, except for, of course, unless it's lactate milk where the lactose has been removed.
Right.
But cheese has very little lactose, and cottage cheese and yogurt have very little lactose. So it's not like everything that's dairy is equal in the body.
Correct.
Milk and even cream has much less lactose than milk because the cream displaces it. So enjoy, I say to the Chihuahua. And, you know, an allergy to food is really rare, maybe a reactivity, but it's usually something environmental if the animal has some kind of a physical, external physical reaction. As you said, you're going to, you know, smell it or hear it or see it if it doesn't go down right. So
that's right.
That at that point, for sure, it's food, no doubt about it. Okay, here's somebody, Candy, in Ball Ground, Georgia. That's an interesting name of a place, isn't it? Ball Ground, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you guys the number again, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Just because Sean and I are nattering along doesn't mean you shouldn't feel free to jump right in.
No, we want to hear from people.
We do. We want to hear from you. We want to answer your questions. We want to learn from you. If you know things like Sherry did about Siamese, we're all on a learning curve, an endless learning curve, which is sort of what's fun. So Candy in Ball Ground, Georgia, sounds like she has a problem, sort of like Ellie, who called at the beginning of the show and wanted to get her cat on a feeding schedule, and the cat's constantly meowing and demanding food. She says, my issue now is the female cat I have, Delilah. Since I've gone to only feeding canned food, I feed twice a day. This cat will constantly meow every time I set foot in the kitchen. It's a demand, not a request. She's a petite little thing with a big mouth. I thought at first maybe she was just hungry. Well, guess what? She is, Candy. But I now think she just really likes the food. Well, that too. At first I started feeding her more, but she'll eat anything you put down. I could deal with the behavior at first, but after about a year, mind you, she's driving me and my husband crazy.
She's very patient.
Very patient woman. So many cat owners are. She will not let up until she gets fed. Other than this, she's a good kitty. No other naughty behavior. I hate to use negative reinforcement like a spray bottle. Oh, please, I beg you, do not. But I don't know what else to do. If you have any ideas, I'd love some help. Thank you for all you do. Candy in Ball Ground, Georgia, I do hope you're listening. Your cat got in the habit of crunching kitty crack all the time because people who feed dry food to their cats leave it out in a bowl, where, by the way, it gets covered in their saliva because cats really do chew kibble, unlike dogs who inhale it. So it's lovely because you now have a bowl of kind of festering, bacteria-laden, fried, sprayed carbohydrate chunks that have drips of cat saliva on them. Not a good thing. But the cat has been constantly ingesting all day long, as if you had a child who you taught to constantly eat donuts, constantly eat French fries, potato chips, lots of fried carb stuff. And that eating it all the time was what you do. So that's what you teach, what this cat learned to do, just constantly be grazing and never actually getting satisfied as an obligate carnivore with proper quality protein. So you don't squirt cats with a squirt bottle. This is some – I don't know who invented this idea. But cats don't learn from negative response. I mean, actually, very little learning takes place with negative reinforcement, whether it's humans or animals. Yelling at them, throwing things at them, squirting them actually makes them dislike you and the squirt bottle. They don't understand that at that moment the thing they're doing, meowing for food, is what elicited that rude person squirting them with water. Some people even put lemon juice in the water so it stings if it gets in their eyes. That really just
– I don't think the cats like that too much.
No, I think that's really very unpleasant. And what it makes them do is have a very negative feeling about the person doing it. And then people say, oh, well, I hide the water bottle and they don't see it till the last minute. Well, then it makes them unhappy in whatever the situation is. But they don't say, oh, gosh, I must not jump on the counter. That's what made this happen. I'll never do that again. They're like, I want to really stay away from that person with that thing in their hand. So the answer, again, is protein, protein, protein. It's amazing that the cat is still feeling this way after a year. But there is a kind of starvation aspect to eating only kibble that when a cat is then given real canned quality food, a light bulb goes off and they're like, gimme, 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 gimme. And 99% of cats, I've never heard of one still moaning and groaning a year later unless they're feeding just a little too little for that cat's needs. The rule is, the sort of cat chat, get you off kitty crack rule is, they can have as much protein as they want, period. A cat will not get fat on protein. Their body burns it up. Their metabolism burns it up. Unlike carbs, which pack pounds on and are the cause of obesity. It's not a lack of exercise in cats. That's some idea that's been promoted. Oh, you should exercise your cats more. No, your cat will do fine exercising herself, especially if you have a Necco Flies toy. But if you put carbs in the cat, it's like putting diesel fuel with sugar in a Ferrari engine. You're going to really do it some damage because it's not the right fuel for the animal. So many people have found that just by switching to canned food, sometimes as much as 50% of a cat's body weight has come off. So a 20-pound cat becomes a 10-pound cat. But that cat can be very, very hungry in that transition because of the craving that is on a emotional, psychological level encouraged by the crack. I'm assuming – she said she's feeding only canned food, so I'm sure she doesn't have kitty crack in the house. A year's a long time. That meowing can be really annoying. So – my only suggestion would be Candy in Ball Ground, Georgia. You're getting Whole Life Pet treats. Having a little jar of kitty treats that you don't keep in the kitchen. Keep them somewhere else. Keep them by the front door or in a laundry room, someplace other than the kitchen because she's learned to meow in there. Hand her, toss her a little treat. Let her go find it. Don't they also – they have some fun kind of IQ toys for cats where you can put something like Whole Life Pet treats – freeze-dried chunks in these rolling balls, and the cat has to manipulate it so the treat falls out. That I think is good to stimulate the cat, and it satisfies their hunger because it's kind of a form of hunting, right? They push it around, something comes out, and they feel like they hit the jackpot.
Yes.
So the question about the starvation is, your cat really does feel as if they're starving. They're not manipulating you. Cats don't manipulate people except for to try to communicate with them a need that they have. And it's a need that has to be met. So they're not doing it because they're spoiled. They're not doing it to just randomly manipulate you. They are trying to communicate something that they really need and want. And you should welcome that communication and try to figure out what it is and answer it. And in this case, the answer is protein. All right, we're going to go off for our last break. And we come back, we hope we get a call or two before our time is up. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Last break, and we'll be right back. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes 100% human-grade dehydrated pet foods, which are created in a human food facility, and batches are actually tested by people. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health problems like itchy skin, ear infections, and GI upset, which are often linked to a poor quality or inappropriate diet. Go to RadioPetLady.com for information on free samples and where to call the company for a complimentary consultation to find out which recipe is right for your pet. This show is supported by Platinum Performance, where they know that comprehensive health for dogs, cats, and people begins one cell at a time. Platinum Performance Canine Wellness and Performance Formula is a comprehensive nutritional foundation formula for all dogs, which addresses canine health at the cellular level, providing a special blend of more than 55 nutrients that improves the fundamental health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells means a healthy dog. That's the Platinum difference. Platinum Performance Feline Wellness Formula contains taurine in every teaspoon, an amino acid that helps promote cardiac health in cats. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the number to call for free samples and more information. We are back. And without a phone call from one of you, we are going to answer Mary's question in Kentucky. That number is should you want to call. We're at the top of the second hour, so it's now or never. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I should have tried to look up the answer to this, Sean, about a refrigerated wet food feeder for cats. But it's Mary in Kentucky who says, hi, guys. I'm glad you're still doing the show together, and I'll be listening. I was wondering if you know of a refrigerated wet food feeder. I'm going out of town. It would be great to have one since my cats eat twice a day, and the pet sitter's only coming once a day. I have the one that takes ice packs, but I'm looking for an electric one if they make them. Any help would be great. Have you ever heard of such a device? I mean, I sort of think like I might have, but I don't really know.
And what is she looking for again?
She wants to be able to feed wet food to her cats while she's away, which is terrific because a lot of people say,
yes,
well, I'll get them off kitty crack, but what am I supposed to do when I'm away? Because a lot of people also have this idea you can leave cats alone for days and days and days. So I love Mary for saying, I have a pet sitter coming once a day because you
like
need
that.
You know, I mean, a cat can get a urinary blockage. Anything can happen. And if someone's looking at them every day, you'll be able to, you know, intervene and get them to the vet. She has one that uses ice, ice packs, but I guess they eventually melt. It's something that it likes that keeps the open can refrigerated or cool, and then I guess a door opens on a timer and the can.
And I've never heard of that. It's interesting. I don't know anything about that.
Well, so why don't you and I make one? It could
do
business for us. I mean, we don't have enough to do, right?
Oh, we're just sitting around doing nothing.
We're just sitting around doing nothing, you know, not running a radio network and not running a whole vet clinic and also playing on Mardi Gras. See, these are the kind of opportunities for Kickstarter. I think if people listen to this show, they'd think of all kinds of products that they could invent and get Kickstarter to help pay for it and then, you know, I don't know, promote it for years and you know, live on just sort of crackers and cheese, and then one day one of the big companies would buy it. The anxiety wrap, which I had as a sponsor of my website for, I don't know, 5 years, owned by two women, one of whom as a profession was a dog trainer. The other was a gal that worked in PR. I mean, they both had day jobs. They developed the anxiety wrap. They designed it. They had it made in America. Then when the Americans couldn't change it enough, they had to go to China to do it. They felt really bad about it, but it halved the price, and they got what they wanted. And they tried to get studies of it done. Finally, a study was done at Tufts University, and it came out really well. But after all this time of going on with this company for years and probably selling quite a few, but they were not able to quit their day jobs, Company of Animals, a wonderful British-based company that makes the Halti and also makes the Nina Ottison toys, which are some of those toys I was talking about, they bought the anxiety wrap. So see, you and I could come out with a refrigerated wet food feeder, and our children couldn't eat and our dogs couldn't eat because we'd put all of our money into this. But one day GE would buy it from us and they would market it, see?
Yes, no, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. I wonder how many people listening would actually step up and buy that. Well, I have to find this out for Mary in Kentucky. She has one that takes ice packs. That's probably the only kind they make. There's probably not enough demand for it. But if you're feeding wet food only, that becomes a problem. You know, I mean, and you go away or you work really, really long hours, it'd be great to have a feeder that would open up and present the can at the right time. Mm-hmm. Have you had people coming into your clinic who've come to you and said, we really want to get off dry food, but we're having trouble? Have you had people?
I think most people just ask me what's the best thing to feed their pets, and we have a discussion about that. And, you know, we've talked in the show before where I kind of start with the ideal, then I have to work with them sometimes backwards from where we are. Mm-hmm. Starting with some amount of canned food, I think, is good. And like I said, sometimes people don't want to put forth the effort or it's too difficult, and that's fine. You know, we talk about maybe adding some extra liquid to their cat's dry food to at least get some extra water in there, get some extra chicken broth or something, just because, you know, these cats may not drink as much. They're getting their water from their food. We need to make sure that they can get some of that water from there.
Which is a good point. That is another reason to feed canned food, is because the cat originally was a desert animal, so they aren't really hardwired to drink. Their tongue isn't even really built to scoop water the way a dog's tongue is. So some of them will play in water. Some of them will kind of mess around with their paws and their face in water. But that's not how they're supposed to take in their fluid. It's supposed to be from the body fluids of their prey. So that mm-hmm. can be a bird, a mouse, even various
fish,
bugs.
And yeah.
Fish. Oh, yeah, right. Little fish. Caterpillars, moths, all of them have body fluids, and that's how they take in their fluid. All right, here we have, this is quite a funny behavior problem. This is going to be good when I have the show Cat Crazy with Amy Shojai, because she's a cat behaviorist, and I'm sure she has lots of tricks for these things. But as long as we have people writing into us, we should do our best to help. This question was about a new kitty. 3 months ago, we got a new cat from the shelter, and they indicated she was a stray. I need help because she walks on all of the counters and tables. We've tried double face tape on the counter, spring water at her, and shaking a can of pennies. She's a little gray and white striped tabby and about a year and a half old. Very friendly and playful, but she must have gotten people food at one point because she runs and jumps on the counters when she smells our dinner. A new behavior is she peed on our bed. What's that all about? Today we found she urinated on the throw rugs in the laundry room where her litter box is. That is so common in cats, I can't even say. The peeing on the freshly folded laundry in the basket, that's always a real nice cat trick.
Not too pleasant, yeah.
Not too pleasant because you went to all the trouble of washing it, drying it, folding it, and now the cat says, what a nice place to relieve myself. Well, as far as shaking cans of pennies, this is sort of a dog training technique that people don't actually do correctly because it's all about timing. But cats are not little dogs, and you can't really train a cat the way you train a dog with aversive sounds and objects to try and drive them away from somewhere. I mean, I would hope for their sake that they have a door on the kitchen. I would just keep the kitchen door closed. I mean, it's one of the best ways to solve a lot of cat problems.
Just make it easy. That's right.
Yes. It's just kind of like avoid the problem. And if you had a dog that always ran to a certain place in the house and marked, I would make that place, and only there, I would make that place off limits.
I agree.
You know, I mean, that's a good way to solve the problem. So this time of year in Texas, do you have particular seasonal problems, or are your seasons pretty much the same all year long except for boiling hot summers?
Yeah, you know what? We're getting ready to gear up for allergy season. So probably in March and April, we'll talk more about that on our show. But allergies are just around the corner. So I think right now, if you live in an area where we're going to start getting some warming up in the spring the next month or two, make sure your pet's on a good diet. We're minimizing vaccines. If they're not on something like Nordic Naturals fish oil, start them on that. You can start the bathing with the Dr. Sean's Itch Relief Shampoo we talked about, maybe the Zhao skin allergy support. Just kind of gear these pets up for what's going to be a whole bunch of pollens and molds coming into their environment that are going to cause itching. If you don't do it, you're going to be behind, kind of behind the time, so to speak, when we start to have problems, which means we might need to intervene with some more drugs. But certainly now you can start gearing them up for what we know is going to be a problem. And sometimes these supplements we talk about take a little bit of time to get in the body kind of basically protecting the pet's immune system. So that's why I really recommend doing something now.
One thing about allergies, which anyone who suffers them themselves will know, It is something, if you nip it early and kind of stop the symptoms, the histamine reaction of itching and tearing and drippy nose and eyes and coughing and whatever symptoms you may have, which are similar to the ones that dogs and cats have, if you can catch it early and do these preventive things that Sean has mentioned, it really does make a difference. I mean, it's very much the walking outside that can be bad for some dogs, which just sounds nuts. When I first heard that dogs could be allergic to grass, I thought, oh, come on. That's humanly impossible. A dog can't be allergic to grass. He couldn't be alive. But he can be very much alive and miserable all the time, scratching and itching. And that's a very good reason to use a shampoo like Sean's, which is incredibly mild. You can even use it diluted. You do want to rinse off your pet frequently. Once you get to the season where, certainly if you see any kinds of pollen or molds or dust, rinsing them off, just like with yourself, if you begin to have allergies, wash your hands really carefully and wash your face. And you'd be amazed how all those allergic symptoms calm down.
And, you know, the thing we need to point out, too, is our dogs and cats are really close to the ground. They're picking up stuff we don't get exposed to. They're rolling in all sorts of stuff in the yard. And their hair is like a rug or a sponge. They're bringing all those allergens back. And one of the reasons I tell owners, and they don't think about this, to bathe your pets frequently, cleanse them, is because they're bringing those same pollens and molds back in the house that you're going to react to.
That's right.
So if you clean your pet, you can actually reduce your own allergy and asthmatic symptoms, which I think is just so important for people health.
Very. And there's people who have cats and maybe a spouse or a child begins to be allergic or give allergic symptoms and they say, oh my God, we got to give this dog or cat away. You hear this all the time. But actually, there's a way to make your house much – in fact, we could discuss it next week, allergens, all the tricks to make your house less full of allergens. And the number one thing is rinsing the dog or cat. And you rinse them with a little bit of diluted shampoo. It doesn't have to be full-strength shampoo frequently, unless there's some real dirt involved, but a diluted version will rinse off whatever those allergens are that definitely are part of the, either the allergens they're bringing in from the outside, Sean, or their own dander. That's another important
thing that
the shampoo washes off, because that's what you're really allergic to. If you are allergic to a dog or a cat, particularly a cat, you're not allergic to the dander, which is the dead skin cells that all of us are shedding buckets of all the time invisibly. You're actually allergic to the saliva. And where is the saliva on a cat? All over them, because they groom one-third of their life. So you want to rinse off that saliva, because when it dries, it becomes airborne. It's sticky and airborne. It sticks to ceiling fans. It sticks to draperies. It sticks to walls. So you want to, like Sean said, catch it early. Get it off them before you begin to feel the symptoms yourself.
I think the more we can clean our pets, we're going to help them and help ourselves as well.
Yeah, and you certainly don't want to have to give up a pet because you're feeling some allergy symptoms. There's so many solutions to the allergies, and as spring and summer come along, don't be blaming the pet. A lot of it really has to do with trees and flowering and all sorts of
everything
things.
Everything else, yeah.
The other thing I'd like to talk about next week is the titer test for vaccines.
Good, yes.
And the IDEX snap test for Lyme's, which all my dogs are headed off to get, because that's something that we can't really stress enough for people, is the fact that Lyme disease can be dormant in your dog from the previous year, having been bitten by a tick that you weren't aware of, even if they have vector protection. I mean, nothing's 100%, and it takes a long time to build up in the bloodstream. So a urine test, the snap test, these are all things that I'd love you to describe to people, Sean, because, again, by being preventive and checking early is the way to avoid these becoming full-blown diseases that then get out of control.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea.
When you have older pets and you have a wellness visit for them, and we just have a minute left, but I mean, I'm assuming that vaccine titer testing and Lyme testing is something you do regularly.
You know, the Lyme's, we don't have as big of a problem here in Texas. I'll actually go on record and say I've never diagnosed Lyme's disease.
Oh, well, now we have 20 seconds
but
left.
We have other tick diseases. We can talk about those next year.
Next week. Oh, my God. We've run out of time. Well, thank you all for listening. We can't wait to talk to you next week. Kiss your kitties and hug your pooches. We'll talk again next week. Bye for now.